Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
I'm going to jump into today's message because I know the time's ticking. We just watched a funny video about, mimicking and, the kids are doing, the parents are doing the kids' voices. Turn to 1 Corinthians 4:15. You know, like I said, and Dorman, you said it well, sometimes I believe we have a real need in our society for fathers. How many would agree? And yet, so amazing that when you need to, as a woman, jump into being both roles, how gracious God is to grace people to be able to do that. And so I know there's a lot of moms that have had to be fathers at different times, and there's at times fathers that have to be moms. But God designed things a certain way, and there's a role that fathers play. And I really want to look at that today, some of the roles that fathers play. And when I talk about it, you know, if you're a single mom and you're raising your child, grab a hold of it because that's the role you're in. It's for all of us and all these work. But there's some things biblically I was looking at that you can see, you know, how God spoke things into being. One of the things that to start off as you're looking into 1 Corinthians 4:15, I was thinking as we were worshiping the significance it must have been like when Jesus teaches the disciples to pray and he says, "Our Father who art in heaven." You know, we think of that and it's so normal for us because we've been hearing about God the Father as long as we can remember. From that moment on, they understood it. But for the disciples to think of God as their Father must have been so earth-shattering, almost heretical to think God's our Father. Because up until that point, gods were deities, gods were, you know, some idols that were made, and they had a lot of these things in their culture, but to think of God as your Father, that must have been so incredible. But we live in a day and age where we know God as our Father. Isn't that awesome? That we can stop at any point and go, "Daddy, I need your help." I love that. All right, 1 Corinthians 4:15. Now this is Paul speaking, and he says, "For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ," he says, "yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urged you, imitate me." So here's Paul literally saying he birthed the church. So he looks at these members of this church as his children. And he's saying, man, there's a lot of instructors around. And you don't need necessarily any more instructors, but you need fathers. You need fathers. I'm so thankful for my father. Happy Father's Day. I'm so thankful for spiritual fathers I've had in my life. Claude, thank you for being a spiritual father. We're designed. How many realized, even if you're an introvert during COVID, you realize that you were born to like people and be around people? Anybody want to admit to that? Even the introverts? After a while, you realize that we in our DNA are designed to be around people. I also believe in our DNA, we're designed to get something from fathers. And sometimes that comes from our father, and sometimes he brings other people into our life that can be spiritual fathers or even earthly fathers that we didn't have, and it is such an important role. I want to go through a few of these things, but the first thing I want you to look at is the fact that he says, you need fathers. You do not have many fathers. And then he says, therefore, I urge you, imitate me. 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. I think I've told this story before. I don't even remember now who it was, but I remember listening. I think it was a podcast, and this gentleman was talking about one day he's with his like three-year-old kid, and he watches as his three-year-old kid gets up off the chair and goes, "Oh, this little three-year-old." And he's perplexed because he's like, why is my three-year-old doing that? And then later on the day, he's sitting in a chair and he gets up and he goes, "Oh," and he's like, "Oh my gosh." And he realizes in that moment, his three-year-old is simply imitating. The three-year-old thought that's what you do when you get up. That's the noise that men make when they get up. Only realizing that's the noise that older men make. I find myself currently in that category from doing work around the house. I'm trying not to make noises as I get up. But it's amazing how, like, have you ever watched a child and how they literally, they watch you? And before you know it, for better, for worse, for uglier or better, they're mimicking you. You know, and anything that you have that's like a, you know, you itch or something like that, and all of a sudden you see your little kid itching. They don't even have an itch, but that's the way to do it, right? To itch, because they imitate. And I love that Paul's saying, hey, imitate me as I imitate Christ. What a beautiful and hefty responsibility we have to be imitators of Christ so that the next generation can imitate us. It's beautiful. All right, let's jump in. I'll read a few Proverbs. Turn to Matthew while I'm doing this. Just great Proverbs about fathers. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. All the youth and young adults in here? For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Isn't that powerful? That our father corrects us not because he's angry with us. He corrects us, it actually says, because he delights in us. Come on, church, are you awake? That sometimes he comes into our life, and we take correction, like when I, you know, we'll have discussions. My kids are older now. I don't know how this happened. But they went from little babies to teenagers overnight. And every once in a while, they'll be like, Dad, I know. Dad, you don't have to tell me that. Oh, the greatest one, we had this argument the other day, because they're like, Dad, every time you tell me to do it, I don't want to do it. Remember those days? As soon as you tell me to do it, I don't want to do it anymore. I was just about to do it, but now that you told me to do it, I don't want to do it. So children, I say to you, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. And so, powerful scripture. Okay, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. That's an important one. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. I love that scripture. I think of you, Dad. Now you have grandkids. No great-great-grandkids yet, but I look at my dad living such a wonderful life, and it must be as I watch you guys watch your grandkids, the joy that you see, the delight that you have. It's beautiful. Okay, number one. You guys ready? Matthew 3, 16 and 17. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Because I finally had it takes a revelation sometimes to get it. But this is where literally Jesus is baptized. The sound from heaven comes from his father. And he says these words. The first point I want you to understand is that fathers give identity, security, and affirmation. And the father says this to Jesus. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You know what's fantastic about that scripture? Jesus hadn't done any of his ministry yet. He didn't do miracles yet. He didn't go out and gather, you know, the greatest force ever. He was gathering his disciples. But this is before he did any ministry in that sense. And the Father looks down and goes, hey, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Some of you need to hear that today. You're God's son and you're God's daughter, and he is pleased with you. But you don't know. You don't know my week. And yet I know he's still pleased with me because he's my heavenly father. And you know what the most powerful thing about this scripture is? That it says that he was led into the wilderness, and for the next 40 days he fasted, and then the devil comes to tempt him. And you know what the devil uses? He says, if you are the son of God. If you are the son of God. And you know what I love about that? I know that I know that I know. This is the revelation that he hung on to those words. He didn't have to go, am I the son of God? I think he remembered those words from his heavenly father. You are my son in whom I'm well pleased. You know, the most powerful thing about that is when somebody comes into our life and speaks identity into us and we grab a hold of it, it can't shake us anymore. And so as fathers and mothers in the house, know that your words, when you speak over young people, you could literally be speaking identity into their life. Remember we said last week, we no longer look at any man according to the flesh. What a powerful thing is as a church that we can grow in this ability to see people walk in and literally speak identity no matter what we see. Anybody else excited to be able to do that? Has anybody ever done that? Where you speak into somebody's life and they never ever thought that was possible. Anybody? I want you to make that a desire of yours. to go, Lord, I want to learn how to do that. So when somebody walks through the door and everybody else can only see the slime, can only see the world, can only see what happened to them, you don't see any of that. And you're like the Heavenly Father and you speak identity into them. Do you know what you're created for? Man, I could see, you know, we could look at Becca. At first, Becca, I thought, is there red lights on today? Pink lights on? Because you have half blonde. Half, you know, I remember you walking in and it didn't take long to see the artistic gift into you, you know, because it was so there. But I hope people speak into your life to know that that is a gift, Becca. It's an incredible gift. And God wants to continue. God's not done yet, Becca. I know it's been a tough season to think about where you're going. But I want you to know God's not done with you. And he invested in you, and those skills and those gifts are going to come out. You know, you got to know it, all right? Don't give up. He's faithful. You have dreams in your heart. It's going to come to pass. Amen. Okay, I can't keep doing that. I got to keep speaking. But can you imagine if we can all, when people walk through the doors, speak identity over them? Is it possible we have a crisis in the world right now because there's not enough fathers speaking identity? And I know that's a touchy subject, but that's a reality. We need fathers to speak over our children. I'm blessed right now, you know, and it's funny that, by the way, this is one of those sermons where you know, sometimes you preach because you've had revelation, you've walked it all out. I think Father's Day messages are always being walked out because you can never be, you always want to get better. And my son, as they get older, Caleb recently was looking for a job. And it's funny how until moments, you don't have to think a certain way. But all of a sudden, when I know he needed to get a job, I started to think, man, I really hope he gets an employer that can build into him, that can train him. And I'm so blessed that he is working for somebody like that. And I thought, this is a man that's being a father to my son on the job. And it's just this desire of going, we got to see fathers rise up as employers that can take rough kids or just kids that don't know how, like kids are being raised today not knowing how to do a lot of things, that can take them and see through all that and begin to speak to them and begin to speak identity over them and have patience. And I was so thankful the first or second day that Caleb had his job, his alarm didn't go off. I know I'm totally picking on him. It just didn't go off. And I'm outside and he looks at the window, Dad, I'm late. I'm like, teaching moment, beautiful. But we get in the car and I'm so thankful again. The employer's like, man, I had that happen to me. And he shares the story of how it happened to him. I thought, that's a father. He didn't come down on him or angry. He just loved on him and said, I had that happen to me. And I remember my boss and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, Lord, we need fathers and mothers to arise in this hour. Amen? Is this whole COVID thing got us? We can say amen still. You can. Rod had you shout. That wasn't me, so. Amen. Okay, turn to Genesis 12, 1 to 3. My next point. Fathers birth destiny and call out giftings. I think that's one of the roles. Again, please know that mothers do this as well. I'm talking from fathers, but I do believe that fathers are in the world to speak destiny and identity and the other things that I'm going to share. And I think right now we're in a season. Thinking of you, Max. You have a great dad. But I'm amazed that when you began a spiritual journey, that he brought Claude to be a spiritual father, to help guide you in scriptures and just to talk. You know, different moments in our life, we need this and then we need another. And Claude became, these are moments where fathers step into our life. Such an important role. Genesis 12, 1 to 3 says this, now the Lord, if you're there, says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land which I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, there's two things in there I want to look at. The fact that, you know, there's nothing like when our Heavenly Father speaks destiny over our life. When you get a prophetic word that speaks into something that you've been praying into for a long time. Anybody praying into things and waiting on a prophetic word? Anybody else? I am right now. I'm like, Lord, I got something on my heart. I'm just looking for a father to come along or even a mother, a prophetess to come along and speak into it. But there's nothing like when you hear a word that confirms. For me, there's a moment in my history that actually has to do with Dorman because we stood side by side, didn't even really know each other fully. I think it was after that we figured we probably should get to know each other. And Pastor Jeff prophesied over us. And that's a father and a man in my life that I respect. And when he spoke those words, I often go back and I listen to that word. I've probably listened to that word 50 times. I have it in audio form. I have it in written form. You prophesied over me that day. You confirmed. And I remember listening. And every time when I go through a tough time, if I'm questioning something in my life, I'll often pull out that exact word because it's a word of identity. It's a word of position. It's a word of destiny. And I read it because it's from a father. In here, we just read about Abram, and literally God says, hey, this is your destiny. Get out of this country. Fathers have the ability to come in and speak destiny. I think one of the things that I hope awakens in this hour, and I was amazed at a video. I don't know how many saw it because there were so many things over the last, 2 weeks now with the protests and all that. An amazing video of a man that walked right into this very volatile situation. And it was a black man speaking to an older black man and a younger black man. What I loved about it was that he walked right up to this young kid and in seconds in the video became a father to him and called out saying, don't do what we've been doing, do it better than us. Because it was like a very volatile situation. And he was in this kid's face, but you could see the father in him going, do it better than we've done it, because we haven't done it well. And this kid, you could see him change, and then he's like, he's yesing him, like, yes, sir. And this, I think there's something inside of him that he called out. I don't even know if this guy was a Christian, but I think he called out a world changer that's going to grow up now going, I got to do things differently, and I'm going to figure out how to do that. That's amazing. Still got to ask you guys, are you awake today? Everybody's so quiet. We're like, we can't speak moistly. I just had to wake you up. That was the greatest line in our recent Canadian history. Don't speak moistly. You missed the clip, Dad. Obviously. Turn your Bibles to Luke 15:11. I'm just going over a bunch of things. I'm not even going to be long today. Can you believe that? Somebody woohooed. You guys love when I preach for hours. Luke 15. I'm going to turn there. This is something we know well. Okay, so fathers can call out identity. Fathers can call out destiny. Luke 15:11. Again, you know, so often we read the context of scriptures and we read it from an understanding that we've had for hundreds of years. But do you realize the prodigal son or the forgiving father is really another title for this? That this is a story that blows their minds? That he's talking about a father that they can't even fathom? Like, we don't realize that. Like, they have no context and no grid for the Father God that he's about to describe. And I think so often we forget that because we're so used to it, but I don't want to miss that this was radical. They didn't know a heavenly father like this. They only knew a God that would destroy or, you know, and he's trying to come and transform their minds. And he says this story, this is the prodigal son. We're not going to go through the whole thing. Verse 11, we'll start there. It says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Now, you got to realize right there, he's asking for his inheritance that is usually, what he's basically saying is, you're dead to me, give me my inheritance. Because you don't get your inheritance unless the father's dead. So here's a father, I'm trying to put myself in that position of how painful that must have been. Basically saying, you're dead to me, give me my inheritance, I'm out of here. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Another moment, if the father could hear all this, the pain that it must have been knowing that you've trained your son, you've trained your daughter, and they go do the opposite of how you've raised them. I know some of you have walked through that. It's very painful. And he says, when he had spent all there, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine, which is the lowest position you could have. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Like, this is a bad scenario. And when he came to himself, he woke up basically, he said, what am I doing? He said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, and he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. All very foreign things. Running, falling on his son that has already been, you know, disowned him basically, kissing him on the neck. These are all things that his audience would have been like, we don't quite get this because we would have normally maybe stoned a son like this. This is so contrary. And what I love is he's showing this is the Heavenly Father. This is what he's like. That's amazing. And then the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Don't you love that he's saying all this? And so often, I'm thinking of Gideon. Gideon's having a conversation, and the angel, it's like he doesn't even listen to him. Basically, you know, I'm the weakest, I'm blind. And he's like, oh, you man, mighty man of valor. Here the son's like, I'm horrible, I'm terrible. And the whole time he's like, hey, get my servant, because we're going to have a party for you. Anybody else amazed that this is our Heavenly Father? Like, seriously, I think sometimes we got to stop and go, Lord, give me a revelation, because this is incredible. This is our Heavenly Father. What it tells me is even on my worst day, and I hopefully have less and less of those in life, but on my worst day, and I had a moment the other day with my kids where I was tired and exhausted. Every time I say something, they look at me and they go, because I blew it and I had to go and apologize. But when we learn that our Heavenly Father is the most incredible, generous, loving, forgiving Father, then it becomes easy to model that. In theory, it becomes easy to model that. Anybody else ever realize that in practicality it can be a little different? But I'm telling you, when we get a revelation, when we read this scripture, we realize that he blew it, takes his inheritance, lives the wrong way in life, blows everything, and comes back, and all he wants to be is a servant, that Father God basically looks at it and goes, no, I'm glad my son's back. Let's have a party. This is our Father God. Natalie, I believe you're going to enter a season where Father God's going to reveal himself to you more than he ever has before. I really do believe that. I believe that you're going to start having revelations when you read, and you're going to be like, I cannot believe this is my Heavenly Father. I cannot believe this. And actually, I believe he's going to bring people into your life, men into your life, like father figures, that are going to show you a side that you can't even, like, I just see you being blown away that this is really what Heavenly Father's like. So I encourage you to get ready for that. And you'll know it when, like, somebody buys you a meal and you'd be like, what is this? And somebody will just say, I just wanted to bless you. I just wanted you to know you're special. It's going to be awesome. Is that good? I think it's the anointing. I have all the prophetic people back in the house. Or just people back in the house. Verse 21, let's go back there. He says, the son said to the father, I've sinned against heaven and your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Do you know that he just spoke identity right back into his son? Like in one statement, and what he does puts authority back on him, puts a ring of identity back on him, and sandals back on his feet, that he can begin to be a part of the family and jump right back in. Like, do you realize how amazing that must have been for a culture that, by the way, the father was running because there was the right of people in the town that the son disowned his father. The people in the town had the right to stone him. And he ran to his son because he wanted to beat everybody else there before they did that. Like, this is our heavenly father. And in one second, he speaks identity right back into him. I don't know about you, but I want to be a father and mothers, the same thing. I want to be a generation that we can begin to see people and speak identity right back into them. That have walked away from everything that they've known. They don't feel like they're worthy for anything. There's probably people watching that you think, I got no value anymore. Yes, you do. Jesus died for us, not when we were perfect. He died for us when we were a mess. And when we come to church and we're still a mess, he still loves us. He's trying to correct us and mold us, but he's not doing it out of anger. He's doing it out of, do you know your destiny? Like Abram. Abram's just going about his business and God shows up to him. We read it and he calls him out and he goes and begins to have an incredible destiny. I want to call people out. Anybody else want an anointing where you can be on the streets, in a restaurant when they open up, and you can call your waitress, you can call destiny back into her life? Where you can begin to say, I know you've gone through rough things. Maybe I can see it on you, or maybe spiritually, but I want you to know God's got a better life. He's got destiny for you. Man, that is what changes a world. There are sons and daughters and children that are desperate to hear, well done, my son. It's one of the greatest things that I can do is every once in a while text my kids and say, so proud of you, well done. Well done. You know I'm proud of you guys. Can't wait for our shout to come back. Woo! Let's go one more place. Let's go to Numbers. And I am going to close with this. You know, I'm finding that sometimes our new folk grab things quick. It's like an acceleration of understanding. And Jason Spiteri, I know you're watching online. This one's for you, brother. Because he texted me last night, and I thought, what an astute man. We were just talking back and forth. But he said at the very end, I didn't get it till this morning. He didn't have any clue of what I was preaching on, but he says, I can't wait to get a fatherly blessing. I'm like, he's pretty young in the Lord to understand something like that. And yet he's watching online waiting for a fatherly blessing. I wonder how many young people are waiting for a father blessing. They say that the world is one of the greatest time in history of orphans in our world right now. Orphans both because of, you know, in Africa where the death toll is so high, but also orphans because fathers are leaving the house so often. And I think, what an amazing opportunity for the church to arise to become fathers. I'm also realizing as I get older now to realize the cost it takes to be a father. When you're trying to teach somebody something and it's not going well, just to put all that aside and go, yet I'm going to be a father, I'm going to teach. Dad, I put a hole in your drywall. I'm going to be a father. I'm going to teach. That is not a real example. They've not done that yet. Praise the Lord. Numbers 6, verse 23. I don't know if you read or heard when I was reading about Abram. He said, I will bless you, and whoever blesses you will be blessed. I believe one of the greatest things that fathers can do that we have missed, we don't even understand this, one of the greatest things is fathers can bless. And there's something that they knew back in the day. We can't go through it, but I was looking at Isaac and Jacob and the blessing. You know, when Jacob deceives Isaac, they're deceiving him because the blessing was such an important role and it was so wrong. You know, do you ever feel like you've been disqualified? Read the Old Testament sometimes and look at the messes that these men and women sometimes created, mainly men. You know, Jacob steals his brother's anointing, his brother's blessing, and God still goes on to bless him. Doesn't mean he had some difficult days. But there's something in a father's blessing. And there was a season that we weren't sure if, I'm trying to remember what season it was, if dad was going to live. But I remember you calling us in and saying, you got to come in because if dad doesn't, we have to have a blessing. I don't know if you remember that, dad. I think you were in the hospital because they thought maybe you had back cancer. Because remember, he blew out his back. In that moment, we didn't know if he'd live. And I think here he is to this day, but I still got the blessing. Tim and Sean aren't here right now. Do you want to bless me right now? Number 6. It says, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying this. This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Okay, so I'm going to give you right up front homework. All the fathers, or if you're a mom in the house that have to operate as a father and a mother, I have an assignment for you today. You guys ready? I want you to bless your family today. I want you to actually take 3 minutes out of your day, gather your kids, and I want you to pray a blessing that's modeled right here. Can we do that? I wonder how many kids that have no fathers would be so desperate for that prayer. We know that they are desperate because they'll enter into gangs where horrific things happen, only so they can feel a part of a family. Only so maybe the one that runs the gang, who is horrific probably, can maybe be a father to them. Even if it's done completely wrong and it's abusive, they still want a father in their life. I'm telling you, what an opportunity that we could see people. And I encourage you, we can't right now unless you go to Chatham and go out to dinner, but if you see people at a gas station and the Lord prompts you, I think there are kids desperate to hear, hey, I just want to let you know, I don't know if you've heard this ever before, but I bet your dad's proud of you. I don't have a dad. Well, that's probably why I probably had to say that today then, that you need to know you have a heavenly father that's proud of you. This is what he says. Speak to Aaron and his son, saying this, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel, and say to them, we sing it now as a song, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Lord, we ask that you would begin to revive the understanding of a blessing. And so why don't we stand right now? I get to be a father of the house. Sometimes I don't even feel like I'm old enough to do that. Can you feel a commissioning of the Lord to be fathers, to disciple nations by being fathers and mothers? Anybody else feeling that today? Because I really do. Ellen, this is weird to say. I mean, you may find it weird. You're a fantastic mom. You really have a mother's heart. Like when I saw you today, I forgot how much I missed you. Because see, we, like I said, we see names pop up and we, but seeing you at the gate, it's interesting, the gateway, the doorway, such a blessing. But your radiance and smile blesses so many people. You have such a mom's heart. It's incredible. So I'm going to pray this over you. I think the Lord had me model. I had no plans of any of that today. Because Pastor Rod can be incredibly prophetic, and sometimes I often say to myself, I'm the prophetic for dummies, because it's afterwards that I go, oh my gosh, that was so prophetic. I have no clue. I wish God would say this is a prophetic moment. But you know the easiest part is that then we can do it, and anybody can do it, honestly. When you just start encouraging people, it is so easy and fun. And all we have to begin to do is say, Lord, help me to look with different eyes. Help me to look with your eyes. Amen? Help me to look with your eyes. All right, I want to bless you guys. You ready for a blessing? How many really believe this is a blessing that can change your life? Because I'm a priest. Amen? I say this over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. I'm going to stop that. Ready? I got to share. It keeps bringing it back. The very beginning of COVID, when we had to make the announcement that the Awaken Conference, this is before churches were going to be closed. We just had to shut down the Awaken Conference. I did the video in my bedroom. And as I was doing the video, I realized that I had the picture behind me. Can't remember where we got it from. But it's a picture of two arms cradling a baby. And I just remember in that moment, God's going to carry us. And the other day I was interviewing Kathy El Ali, and I didn't want to go to the church, and kids were outside, so I'm like, I got to make some sort of atmosphere, you know, so the camera looks half decent. So I put it my camera in front of the mantle, and that picture used to be above our mantle, and so without thinking, I went and grabbed the picture, and I threw it up, and as we're speaking, and I could feel like the season was shifting, I realized that picture, the same thing. And I'm reminded of his faithfulness, that the Lord carries us and keeps us, and he carried us and will continue to keep us. Amen? So I say, Lord bless you, and may he keep you, which is the word shemar, which we know. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Lord, I ask right now that your face would shine upon everyone here. Lord, if they have a down countenance, I thank you, Lord, that your face is going to shine upon them. And I declare countenances are going to change in this place in Jesus' name. Lord, even to the point we ask, Father God, in the coming season, that as we leave the church, that people would say, like, why are you glowing? Lord, even as we see like an Abigail, and we miss the season to see if she was glowing as a pregnant mom, but you know, we can identify sometimes moms because we're like, man, you must be pregnant. You're glowing. Lord, we ask that the same favor and that would blessing and your light would shine upon us. And people literally would begin to go, what are you using? What product? Your face is shining. Well, I'm glad you asked. Thank you, Lord. And Father God, we ask that you, Lord, you would lift up the countenance upon, you would lift up your countenance upon us. Lord, you would be gracious to us. And you would give us peace. So Father God, Lord, we just ask right now on this amazing Father's Day that you would begin to pour out a fathering and mothering anointing for the lost and for the nations. Lord, I pray that you begin to give us peace and patience when we begin to love on people that are difficult. Lord, I thank you that somebody loved on Dorman. When maybe others wouldn't. And Dorman's amazing and walking with God today because of it. Lord, I ask, Father God, you give us the anointing to be able to love on people beyond our own capabilities. Lord, if we have businesses, I pray that you give us the ability to begin to father and mother people that come into our businesses, to love them to a place where they begin to have an identity called out of them. They begin to have worth bubble up in them. They begin to realize that they have a destiny, that they are important, that God doesn't make junk. And if you're listening right now, I want you to know, if you're watching online, God does not make junk. God does not make junk. And if you find yourself watching right and you're like, I don't even know why I'm catching this, it's because God wants you to know he loves you. Come on, church. God wants you to know that you are loved. Amen. So we speak a blessing on this Father's Day. We speak a blessing to the fathers. Why don't you stretch your arm out to the people around you that you know are dads? Lord, we just bless them. We bless the dads in this house. Lord, we pray for strength over the dads. We pray for courage over the dads. Lord, I pray today as the dads even go home and bless their families, that Father God, I declare something is going to shift. Come on, we say that something is going to shift in the atmosphere over homes today. Lord, over the babies that are coming. Lord, something is going to shift in our households today, Father God. And Lord, as we do this corporately throughout Essex County, we say that something is going to shift over Essex County in Jesus' name. And we declare, Lord, your peace as we are peacekeepers, that your peace would come into this land once again. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the report, Father God. And we just say, do it again, Lord. They gave a report the other day. They don't know why, but the cases in Canada are dropping, even though they're opening things up. As far as I know, we're one of the only countries that's had this happen, but they said the cases are actually dropping. So, Lord, we say, do it again. We say every day, Father God, I pray that you would perplex the doctors and the scientists in Canada, and they would say, I have no idea why. This should not be happening. But let's keep going. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.